This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Is a better golfer than the Nationals assistant coach, pitching coach.
Is that right?
We got that. Did you hear what he did?
No.
You did not hear this?
Uh-uh.
So the pitching coach of the Cardinals yesterday golfed before the game, and he had two hole-in-ones. Same round, two hole-in-ones.
Hmm.
Does that not, I mean, that's impressive.
That's really impressive.
And then I read.
Just tired of hearing about ones with the Cardinals. One run, one hole.
Then I read. Benjamin Hockman, I think that's how you say his name. He's a writer for the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis. He said, this reminds me of a story back in 2018. So a couple of buddies were out playing in St. Louis. They had caddies. And there's even a deeper story to it. The caddy was a son of a lady that they were both friends with that had passed away of cancer. So it was kind of a really pretty touching story. But the point of the story is they're both out golfing. One guy's like 45. The other guy's like 35. The guy hits a shot on a par three, uses a 9-iron. The ball, like, spins, comes back, goes in. And they're all going crazy. So his buddy, so let's just say Lon and Derek in this situation. So Lon hits the hole-in-one. Derek comes up, like, chest bumps him, almost knocks him to the ground. He's just walking around. He said, I'm, like, on a cloud nine walking around. So Derek takes a 9-iron out, tees up, hits a ball, and knocks it in. Two hole-in-ones, back-to-back swings on the same hole. And they said, like, it's like 1 in 67 million are the chances of that happening. And it both happened, and they both used a 9-iron. It was crazy. And the guy, the pro of the course just happened to be on a green right next to it and watched it all happen. And he's like, man, it was the funniest scene to watch these guys running around. That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. I wonder if Mikey Duda golfs. Mikey, do you golf?
Yes, I do. I actually have hit a hole-in-one myself.
What? How come everybody in the world? My mom has a hole-in-one. Now Mikey Duda has a hole-in-one. Did you really?
Yeah, I was 10 years old, actually. And when I was younger, I used to play from the tees that were super far up there. I think they're the red tees.
Yes.
And we were playing on a hole that had water on it, and the tees behind the red tees, the white tees, you had to hit over the water. And, you know, I was out there with three of my buddies, and, of course, they're like, we're all betting each other who would hit it over the water and whatnot. So I went up there and hit it over the water and hit it in the hole. So it was pretty incredible.
Now, did it land on the other side of the water and then, like, just roll onto the green and into the hole, or did you actually hit it to the green and it did its trick?
No, yeah, I hit it probably 9 feet to the right of the pin, and then it just rolled left and disappeared.
You know, some people are Mikey Dudek, and others are just us.
I'm 28, I can't hit it over the water.
No, I know, right? I'm skipping it over the water now. I mean, Mikey, I used to be a pretty good golfer, golfed all the time growing up through high school. And then in college, I started to say, all right, I got $50. I can either go play golf or I can go spend a weekend in Carbondale partying it up. Well, you know what won. So now my golf my golf game is just bad. But yeah, I've never had a hole. I've been close. I've made a mark like 2 inches from the cup one time where I hit it right at the hole, but it didn't go in. So, well, that's cool. Mikey Duda, golfer.
Yeah.
That's Mike Small ever did he ever give me a look? Small here at Illinois?
Oh, no, I should have reached out to him, but I don't know if they would need my help. That team is pretty incredible.
Isn't that – can I start there and then we'll get to football maybe? I'm kidding. The golf team, like as good as that team is and as good as Mike Small's, what is that like for those guys? Did you guys ever have much communication with those guys? And that's pretty cool how dominant that that program has been.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty incredible, especially when, you know, we are a cold weather state 6 to 7 months out of the year. And a lot of those golf powerhouse teams are usually the southern states who can play outside year round. So, you know, what Coach Small has done for that program, for our university, it's, you know, it's pretty incredible to have a top 10 program year in and year out. In a state that's really with a disadvantage. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been up to that practice facility, but I mean, it's pretty sweet. I would love if, you know, we had an indoor practice facility like theirs is. But yeah, you know, it's pretty incredible.
Can we expect the golfers, the golf team, to be up on the new putt-putt on the Smith Center?
Yeah, I saw that just opened up. Again, that's another thing I wish, you know, I would have had while I was playing. I'm excited for those guys, though, and I know if any of those golfers go up there, they'll probably set some course record up there of consecutive hole-in-ones, considering how good they are playing on actual hard greens. So,
speaking of things that you wish you could have been around for, you're going to, or the team is going to Ireland.
I thought the same thing.
I got to ask you about that. Your thoughts on that one? Is that one you check in with the clearinghouse? Like, do I have another year, maybe?
Well, he does.
Yeah,
doesn't?
You know, I think I have 1 or 2 years left of eligibility, so maybe I'll come out of retirement for that one game. But no, you know, it's pretty sweet. I've been talking to a couple of the guys, and you know, they're pretty stoked about it. I know the guys that'll be out of there, the upcoming seniors next year, are, you know, pretty disappointed. Probably similar to me, how I was with the facility. But it's just it's a cool thing for our program, for our university, for Ireland, going over there, having an American two American football teams play. It's such a cool thing. And you see it all the time with basketball. And I know some Big Ten teams, basically just Michigan will go over there for spring ball over to Europe. But now it's cool to see some other teams go over there and actually play a game for those fans over there.
Follow Mikey Dudek on Twitter at MDFlash_7. Did you have a chance to walk through the new football center? I know you were down this weekend.
Yes, I did. It's sweet. It was my first fight. Week one, I walked through it. I didn't go upstairs or any of that. I just went into the locker room briefly and saw the workout facility as well. So this week I spent a little more time in there. Went into the players' lounge, which is unreal. You know, they have 2 bowling lanes in there, ping pong table, pool table, basketball hoops. And then I walked around in the weight room, which is, you know, second to none across the country. And then the meeting rooms, all that. They have the Lazy Boy comfy chairs up there.
Nice.
So it's a sweet facility. And you know, I'm happy for those guys and happy for the program because, you know, down the road, that's going to help us a lot if we want to get to where we want to go.
I'm bringing the sledgehammer here. So that said, and it's unbelievable, and it's I think it's probably true. I haven't seen it. I would love to see it, and one day hope to get in there and see that. But that said, how much can that help you if you don't win games on Saturday?
Oof. I mean, not much. You know, everything, the whole point of the game is to win, you know, and for a program that's just been devastated by losses, it seems, the last 10 seasons, when we did have, you know, the outdated facilities, well, now we have it, you know, and that excuse goes out the window. But yeah, you know, you got to put the wins up. But the whole facility thing, now guys actually want to be around the facility. You know, I was in the last year, our locker room, I'm pretty sure, you know, Red Grange and Dick Butkus used that locker room. That's how old it was. But now, you know, you got all the state-of-the-art flat screen TVs, all that stuff everywhere. And it just, it makes it a place you want to be. And when you want to be somewhere and then when you're there, you're going to put in that extra work, that extra time. So it'll be good for the program moving forward, but it won't be good until those wins start happening.
Mikey Dudek, our guest. I was going to ask you another one. I heard the term moral victory this weekend, and I didn't hear it in a positive way. I mean, I heard some people talking about, well, you know, it's too late for a moral victory now in year 4 of Lovey, this and that. Did you guys, what's that term like to a college high level D1 athlete to hear a, you know, well, listen, they came back, they were within 3 of Michigan. You know, I mean, they didn't win it, but they, you know, they battled Michigan. That's kind of a moral victory. When you guys would hear that, is that one of a frustrating term, or is that one where you thought, well, okay, I at least appreciate a little bit of a nod?
No, I think that's extremely frustrating. You know, I know myself and the 99 other guys on the team, they're not satisfied unless they get a win. You know, a moral victory doesn't count for anything. It's ultimately, it's still a loss. in the loss column. And yeah, you know, we showed signs, but we also showed signs that we're still not there yet. We put up, I think, 25 unanswered points in the third going into the fourth quarter, which was pretty incredible. But now what if we did that for four quarters? Mm. You know, where could this team go? If we would have done that for four quarters, we 100% would have won the game on Saturday. But, you know, we didn't. So in terms of moral victory, I don't think there is one when you still lose.
To look at a particular positive, Mikey, Matt Robinson had a stretch there where he brought you back as a true freshman going against one of the top 10, 15 defenses in the country. Did you like what you saw from him, and how much of that maybe, if Brandon Peters is healthy, goes into the equation of who's going to, you know, in your mind, be the starter going forward?
Yeah, you know, I saw it as the game went on, Matt calmed down a lot. I think we saw him move around a lot more, which is the type of player that he is. When Josh Amedebebe scored that touchdown, I thought Matt did really well, you know, rolling out, stopping, juking, whatever, and then throwing him that ball when he was coming late towards the sideline. And that's what you're going to get, you know, out of Matt Robinson from what I saw last year and a little bit of, you know, the game times he has had. He just makes plays happen. Now it's just, you got to get more consistent with it. You know, he had those two turnovers at the end of the game, and you know, there's other factors that go into it. But you know, he is the quarterback, and he's got to, you know, lead the team to victory. And in terms of, you know, Brandon coming back, I'm almost 100% positive that he will be the starter when he does return. I know Coach Smith is not a big advocate to losing your job to injury. You only lose your job when you get beat out, and you know, Brandon won the battle through training camp, earned that right to start. And, you know, had we won on Saturday, I might be saying something else. But at this point, I think it's pretty locked up with Brandon.
You play a good team in Michigan, an even better one comes in Wisconsin.
Yikes.
Arguably, if not arguably, the best running back in the country. Their defense, I think, has only given up 27 points all season long. Where do you think the mindset is, or if you were in that locker room coming off of a game against Michigan, you've lost four in a row, and a team like that comes into town, does it still excite you, the opportunity maybe to pull the upset, or is that kind of tough knowing what you're up against?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, you know, for those guys. Wisconsin's what, like sixth in the country right now, so and we have homecoming this weekend, so hopefully the stadium's packed. You know, get the fans behind us. But, you know, going back to that Michigan game where we did play well in those third and fourth quarters, there is some glimmer of hope for those guys that knowing, you know, okay, we play our game, you know, we can beat these guys. And, you know, there shouldn't be a doubt in their mind that they can. And I know there isn't. So, you know, if I was in that locker room like I was the past 5 years, I know they're as excited as they can be to have a fresh week, fresh start, and go out and try to beat the Badgers.
Mikey Dudick, former Illini football player, freshman All-American. Follow him on Twitter, at MDFlash_7.
And golfer.
And golfer. Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah. You know what? Deanna Reinhart, my golf coach, excellent golf coach in high school, reminded me that when I worked at WAND in Decatur, Mark Faust, who is a Villa Grove golfer, I was recording regionals at Hickory Point, and I was behind the green, and I perfectly followed his ball all the way to the green, and bam, it went in. So that's the closest I've been. I not only saw a hole in one in regionals, but I taped it. I sent that to the IHSA. I think they used it a few times, which was really awesome. But thank you to Deanna. I forgot all about that. So there, Mikey. I don't have a hole in one, but you haven't taped one at least. So there.
Yeah.
Can't believe the Masters didn't call you back.
Well, right. I mean, I should be right there in Amen Corner. All right. So Mikey, I was going to ask you this. You were on the player's side of a season that kind of didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And I'm not saying that. No, I am saying it. Yeah. This season's not going the way we want it to go. It won't go probably the way we need it to go. So you were on that side of that frustration as a player. Now you're on that side as a fan. What's the parallel there? Mm-hmm. What is that? Is it 10 times more frustrating? Because, you know, as fans, we sometimes, and it's funny, like I'll watch like a Cardinals baseball game and I'll see Marcelo Zuna in there like cracking a smile. I'm like, dude, you just dropped a fly ball that even I could have had maybe at Henson Park back in the day. And you sit there and think, oh, they don't even care, you know, because this, and you know they do, right? They're athletes, they're competitors. And as a fan, sometimes we, you know, we see Lovey on the sideline and he's stoic and you want to see him chewing somebody's butt or chewing an official's butt. And you want them, you want you guys to be as mad as we are as fans, when in reality, you're probably 10 times worse. So what is that like as a former player and now fan of watching a season that maybe we hoped would be 4-2 right now, and instead you're 2-4 knowing Wisconsin's coming to town?
Yeah, you know, it's extremely frustrating. I think I definitely said this before on the show, but I'll be sitting at home watching the game with my parents, just screaming at the TV, and have to leave the room and go watch the game by myself just because, you know, I get so upset. But it definitely is a lot different from the player side to the fan side. For instance, I know last week, you know, Coach Smith called a timeout in the third quarter. He called like two on one play after another, and all the fans were like, "What? Why did he call a timeout? Why did he call a timeout? You know, we wasting timeouts." But there was actually 12 guys on the field, so I don't know if people recognize that.
True.
So that's just one thing, you know, amongst a million, where there is a disconnect between the fans watching the game and the players playing the game actually understanding what's going on. And then in terms of, you know, showing your frustration, you know, you're taught all the time just to remain cool, you know, remain cool in the highs, remain cool in the lows, and just keep that, you know, that steady face, that steady drive. Cause you, if your emotions get the best of you, then, you know, you're not going to win. An emotional player most of the time is not the best player or the best product that that personal person can put on the field. So from a fan standpoint, I get why it's frustrating seeing the players, you know, not looking as upset as it is as a fan. But now, you know, being a fan, I understand where the fans are coming from. But, you know, the player side of it, like I said, they got to remain cool, got to remain calm, and just, you know, try to relax and get through this play and on to the next and you know, go make a play.
Yeah, great answer.
Mikey, six games in, six games to go. From your vantage point right now, what's a fair ask for the rest of the season as far as what you would want to see, need to see? I know we went into the season talking about progress and getting to a certain number of wins. What, in your opinion right now, knowing what we know, what's a fair ask for this group the rest of the way?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, for me, I want to see them in a bowl game. You know, I want to see six wins. But it's also different to say, okay, you go out, you don't get six wins, but, you know, you lose to Wisconsin by one, you get beat by Michigan State by two, and so on. You know, you're not getting blown out. So that would show big progress for our team. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about wins, in everything you do, you know, and especially, you know, college football, the greatest sport on earth. If you're not putting wins out there, then, you know, there's nothing really to celebrate.
Yeah, and especially, like, you're looking at, and I'm not asking you to go personal here, but, yeah, I mean, I will. You're looking at a year four of Lovie Smith with players that he's started as freshmen. And while, listen, I think everybody in the country would be like, if you finish within three touchdowns of Wisconsin, I think everybody would be like, that's a pretty stinking good performance. But, you know, the losses, even like to Nebraska by four, it's still a loss. Yeah, I mean, to this point, if it's year one or two, it's still a loss. And I think there's certain times where you say, okay, that's progress. And I'm not ripping on you for what you just said. I just hope you know that. So, but it's like, that's progress. But then at some point now, the progress has to be, we're winning, right? And that, I think that's the biggest frustration so far.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree with you. At the end of the day, like I said, if you're not winning, then what are you really showing?
Right.
You know, you can't talk about a rebuild for 5-6 years. You know, I know football, it takes a while, and I know there's impatient fans and players and coaches and all that who want it to happen overnight, but, you know, it's not like basketball where you can recruit top five players to come in and start and lead your team to a national championship. You know, these guys you're recruiting out of high school are 17, 18 year old kids maturing into adults who just, their bodies aren't the same as, you know, a 22 year old senior, and so on. So, you know, it takes a while, but you know, at the end of the day, if you're not getting there, if you're not getting anywhere, then what's the point of the whole rebuild talk, if you know what I'm saying?
Yep, that's perfect. We started the conversation with Mikey Dudek saying he's had a hole-in-one. Of course he has. I assume you were all-conference basketball and baseball as well.
That is, no, I was not, unfortunately.
Did you play in one of those sports?
Track, though. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. He would be faster than, yeah. No, that makes sense. Did you even try to play basketball and baseball? Because you probably would have been really good at that, but you're like, ah, I can only be great at three things.
See, no, I actually have a funny story about baseball. So I played baseball all growing up. I loved baseball. I obviously loved football and basketball, too. Those are like my three sports. And I quit baseball probably like sixth or seventh grade because, believe it or not, I was afraid to get hit by pitches. I hated to bat because I was afraid to get hit by the ball, yet here I am playing Big Ten football, getting hit by 6'3", 225-pound grown men.
That's funny.
So it's a little backwards there, but yeah, that's why my baseball career ended.
I tell you what, though, it's psychological because I've watched and seen and coached a lot of kids playing baseball, and when they get to about that age, if they're scared of a ball, then – you just know right then they're probably, and it's, you don't blame the child. You don't blame the kid. I don't want to get plunked either, but you almost, if you have that little like tick of a, then you're done, right? I mean, especially the higher you get, the high school. And if you're good enough to play college, et cetera, it is funny like that. But then, yeah, here's Mikey out here just taking shots on a football field and
you can at least run away from the 6'3", 250 guy. Instead of the baseball
right.
coming
out. You can't run away from a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
No, that is no doubt about it. Mikey Dudek, it's been too long, man. It's great to have you back on. We always appreciate it. Former Illinois football player. Follow him on Twitter. I know you already do. It's at MDFlash_7. Hey, it's homecoming. Let's shock the world, Mikey.
I know. I agree. It's a big opportunity, and I know I'll be there. I'm sure you guys will be there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a fun and exciting game on Saturday.
Hey, and we'll try to connect just a quick bit, if you don't mind. We'll try to connect in the tailgate lots. Derek was at the tailgate last time, but I didn't even talk to him. So we'll try to connect this week. Is that cool?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Mikey.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Mikey Dudek. He said he was going to be – he's like, let's try to connect.
Yeah.
And then we both forgot. I was so
like
cold.
You forgot to talk to me, too.
I did. I just kept –
That's all right. I talked to you enough throughout the week.
You know what's funny? On Sunday morning, it was the first thing I thought of.
Like, really?
I woke up Sunday morning, and I was kind of rehashing the entire day of just all that kept flooding back in my mind was how cold I was. But then I thought, you know, there are like two or three times I passed you and your brother, and I always had like a reason. Like, I was going to get beer for my visitors that were there, and I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm like, I'll be back. I got some guys that just showed up from Pekin. So I go, and I talked to them for a while, and then I came back by, saw you guys again, and something had just happened, and I said something and didn't talk to you. And I love your brother's just funny. He just sits there and smiles at me.
Yeah.
And he's just like, whatever, Tay. We don't.
Oh,
need
we were
you.
Good. You know, we had beverage. And
yeah, I mean, you guys. Listen, you were. Yeah, you were fine.
Yeah.
Like if I saw.
Andrew said hello.
Well, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Didn't he break a rib or something?
He chucked me a little bit.
A little punk. Yeah. Knock him back.
Well, at first I didn't know whose kid it was.
Oh,
and I was
well.
Like, who the heck? And he comes back. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Just, yeah, turnabout's fair play. That's all he
needs. That's my bags partner, though. I don't want to.
Well, that's true.
Hurt him up.
You guys are like undefeated in bags.
Yeah.
Do not play Piper and Andrew in bags. It's ridiculous. All right, great stuff with Mikey Dudek. That was fun. Next question, NFL edition. I'm going to ask Derek about the officials last night in the Packers-Lions game. I did not watch one bit of it. So
yeah.
I'm going to ask your response on that. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Did you know the manufacturing industry employs more than 11,700 women and men in Champaign County? Join Champaign County EDC and the Atkins Group as we celebrate National Manufacturing Day and Illinois Manufacturing Month this October. Local companies like Latania Sports Group, APL Engineered Materials, and Apprentice are opening their doors to the public for tours, and we're proud to celebrate their contribution to our local economy. To learn more and register for these tours, visit MFGday.com. That's MFGday.com.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why do so many go to Honda BMW of Champaign? Is it the selection of hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles? The easy location off Neal at Burwash Savoy? Or the fact that they're an award-winning dealership getting incredible reviews year after year from their customers? Yes, it's all of the above. Before you buy your next vehicle, give Honda BMW of Champaign a chance to earn your business. Honda BMW off Neal at Burwash Savoy, or go online, drivechampaign.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Out of town or just out of time? With VC's mobile deposit, you can skip the line and deposit checks whenever you want, wherever you are. It's as easy as sign, snap, and send. Visit VC.com for details or download the VC mobile app for smartphones and tablets to securely access your account when it's convenient for you. VC, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I fell in love. This place is delicious. One of the best restaurants for fine dining in Champaign. Those are just some of the reviews about Miga Restaurant in downtown Champaign, specializing in sushi, Asian-influenced dishes, wine, and cocktails. Miga Restaurant, open Monday through Saturday. Call and schedule your reservation for a date night, special celebration, or just because. Miga Restaurant at 398-1020.
Need a car wash? Need an oil change? Luckily, you can get them both at Market View Car Wash and Lube in Champaign. They have the perfect package for you. Just buy a full-service oil change, and they'll give you a complimentary car wash. They have free vacuums at their shop as well. And join the VIP Car Wash Club, as you will receive one car wash a day. The VIP Club Wash price starts at $20 a month. So come on by 501 West Market View Drive, and the Market View team will take care of your car as they would their own.
Hello, this is Shane Colt from Country Arbor's Nursery. Country Arbor is having our biggest sale of the year. Every plant in the nursery is at least 20% off, with select plants up to 50% off. These aren't merely leftover plants from the spring. We've been bringing in fresh new plants to keep the nursery fully stocked for the last big push going into winter. The best time to plant is now. Less transplant shock and less money. So come out to Country Arbor's Nursery for the best selection of trees, shrubs, and perennials, and they're all on sale. For more information and directions, go to countryarbors.com. I'm Shane Colt from Country Arbor's Nursery, and have a nice day.
Cyber criminals will steal an estimated 33 billion security and private records by next year. The average cost of a data breach for a small business in North America is as high as $117,000. While these numbers can sound frightening, they don't have to be. Ease your fears by having Area-Wide Technologies come look at your setup. They'll ensure your system is secure and will give you a detailed inspection report of just how susceptible to these threats you are. Call them today at 359-8041.
GNC is the name you know, but we want to know yours as well. Also your health, fitness, nutrition habits, wellness goals, and more. In other words, your complete profile. GNC for You is personalized daily packs of the industry's best vitamins and supplements designed just for you and shipped right to your door every month. And it all starts at GNCforYou.com with a free lifestyle quiz that starts with your name. Don't take someone else's vitamins. You don't need to, because there's GNC for You.
It's the Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
That's what we're playing here. We're going old school. It's The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Trevor Valise is in studio. What's the dude's name in the other room? I've forgotten.
Isaac.
Have I ever met Isaac? I'm kidding you, Isaac. Isaac just, out of nowhere, Isaac Ambrose showed back up to the show.
For some reason, at first, I was used to it because I've gotten used to seeing him in there.
Yeah.
But then in my head, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to see him in there now.
He snuck. Isaac, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, not too bad. How about yourself?
You kind of snuck in. Like, I was in here, and then I went out to get water, and I looked back. I'm like, well, who's the dude? Oh, that's Isaac.
Did you actually know his name?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I even knew his last name, right?
Hey, there you go.
Now, where have you been doing something cool, haven't you?
Well, I was doing the Chicago Bears training
camp. Yeah. That's it.
But then I just went to school after that. So I've just been taking classes.
Sort of anticlimactic after Bears training camp.
Yeah, sorry about that.
The Bears training camp, though, was that, how did that go?
That was awesome. Just driving around the players on a golf cart all day, pretty much. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you chat with most of them?
Yeah, most of them were pretty talkative. There was only a few that really didn't want to talk to me. But
and you could probably tell pretty quick. Like,
yeah, they make it known, for
okay.
sure.
All right.
Yeah.
How about the quarterback?
Mitch was pretty nice. Actually, he was one of the more talkative ones and usually in a good mood.
So well, he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Right.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. That's all you need. All right, Isaac, welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, good to be here.
Good to see you. All right, NFL, we're going to do a little next question NFL edition.
I think F-ball is on this tab. So we have John.
Is John, yeah.
Next question.
Oh, John is there.
He perseveres. Do we want that or?
We can do both, can't we?
Yeah, that's only a minute.
Hey, John, first week of the season at West Virginia, what do you think?
Next question.
Now, wait a minute. Has he been preparing all offseason for the
draft? Next question.
That's right.
Next question.
I don't think he'd like that. Oh! It's
ruined
his
Thanksgiving one year. Honestly, was there any worse, like, random two games than that Thanksgiving tournament? Because no one paid attention to it. Because it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But, like, if you actually microanalyze those games, that was horrible.
I remember tweeting out, it was like watching third grade basketball against a high school team that was pressing. And that's nothing against third grade basketball kids. They're not ready for it.
So it was 80 to 50 something, right?
Did we get the ball across half court maybe three times that first half? Why did you bring that up?
But then no one's there.
West Virginia.
No one's there. And then the next morning, Thanksgiving morning, you're playing, or no, maybe it was the next morning after Thanksgiving at like 9 a.m., you play Florida State.
Oh, that's right. And actually played well.
Yeah, but you still lost.
Seems like they had like three dudes that are 7 foot tall.
That's one. There's a lot of those games during like a Beckman or Gross year where someone mentions it and I go, oh yeah, that's one of the more forgettable random two game stretches of all time right there.
Because let's be honest, we are all optimistic to a degree. And I remember looking at that schedule going, that'd be kind of cool. Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Eat some turkey, drink some beer. You got NFL on.
And what was the quote? We've been preparing for the press for months. Was that the quote?
Since the summer,
We've been planning for this since the summer.
Next question.
Okay.
All right, 89 to 57.
89 to 57.
How many turnovers?
24.
24? I thought it would be like 34.
Well, 33% of the possessions were turnovers.
Oh, my goodness. 33, a third of the time you had the ball.
Jalen Tate was your point guard.
Yeah. Starting lineup. I know we're supposed to get the next question.
That's fine. Do that.
Jalen Tate. This is better.
Jalen Tate.
Another point guard.
From Milwaukee.
Tijon?
Tijon Lucas.
Off the bench. Tracy Abrams.
Oh, Tracy!
Oh, right. Michael Finke.
Okay.
Maverick Morgan.
Oh, Mav. He had a good senior year.
Malcolm Hill.
And Malcolm.
I don't know. I mean, other than Jalen Tate, that doesn't scream like a lineup that should lose 89-57.
Here's what that lineup screams. Don't press us.
Next question.
That is true.
First up.
And West Virginia pressed you. And then you battle like 3 7-footers for Florida State.
Yeah. That's seriously.
That's actually hilarious that they're going to West Virginia this year, Akron.
Akron at West Virginia, their second game of the year.
I didn't realize that.
That's why we brought it up.
I'm with you. Now I'm with you.
I kind of really want to watch that game. Can you two come over? We can watch the game on ESPN Plus.
That'll definitely be on Trev's ticket, I guarantee you.
Yeah. What's the line?
Is Werner going to that? We could have him down.
Is he going to West Virginia for the Akron-West Virginia game?
I'm assuming he's pocketing that money to go to Ireland.
Good call.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll be at...
I'll
be at Grand Canyon.
I'm sorry, you'd be the one at West Virginia, not Werner. That's my fault. Yeah, you are going to Arizona.
Yes.
Sweet.
I think Jeremy might be. Not confirmed.
They haven't announced a TV network for the Grand Canyon game, so I don't even know where that one's at.
Could you be a chap and stand in for me on Parents Weekend at Arizona State? All you have to do is just mingle with all of Lucas's buddies and drink beer with them.
Yes.
Okay.
It might be tough to pull off, though, because I'll still get carted at the door.
They're like, man, Lucas, your dad's really tall. And although Lucas is tall, so that'd pass. They're like, he's really young. Yeah, he looks really young.
I seriously can't wait to watch Akron at West Virginia now.
Oh. We're staying off of the beaten path, but my brother and I just got carded, and then the person was like, you guys should switch voices. Because I got the deep voice, and he's a little bit... He's not high-pitched or anything.
No, not at all. I love it.
He's like 6'7 with a beard, and I'm look like I can be
so
22.
So even if you're tall, you still get carded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think height factors into
it. Well,
I would
figure that it would. Like, maybe you're like, that dude's tall. He's got to be 21.
I doubt Kofi would ever get carded.
Right. Right. My days of being carded are long gone, boys. Long gone.
You know they card you at a place like Meijer no matter what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, my grandma got carded at Meijer.
Because they have to, like, do the, they have to, whatever that is, the red thing that goes.
It's because people are doing it in the self-checkout. So, like, a kid could go through the self with a wine or something.
Right.
Why I do wine. But
she didn't have the cards. You pull out the Morgan Park yearbook.
Okay. All right, let's get to this.
Can I hear it one more time?
Yeah, NFL next question.
Next question.
The Packers are 5-1, but with some late magic from Aaron Rodgers. We've seen that movie before, and the officials. How much do you actually buy a Green Bay team that has had not necessarily an easy, but a very favorable home schedule, as well as some good breaks at 5-1.
I'm going to ask you two this, because you're more of the NFL, what is it, used to be Central.
North.
The North. You guys are the Bears fans. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously better. This is a team that's going to be in the playoff conversation going forward. Can they win the division? Absolutely. They're in first place. I'm still holding out on penciling them into the NFC title game, which I think some people are going to get into the habit of going, Green Bay and San Francisco is going to be a really entertaining NFC title game. I'm not sure. This is the toughest division in football, being the NFC North, in my opinion. I think Green Bay's defense still shows that they have signs of getting beat by the Eagles, came in and did that to them. Their weapons offensively.
Mm.
Jimmy Graham is not Jimmy Graham anymore. When Devontae Adams is hurt, we saw last night, they have just a bunch of no-name guys.
Right.
I mean, Geronimo
Cobb's
Allison.
Gone.
Allison got hurt.
Yep.
So,
Randall Cobb.
Or what did I say?
You said Reggie Cobb.
Reggie Cobb?
Yeah.
He's a kid coming in, right, for Illinois.
Reggie Love?
Whatever. Dang it!
Lante, folks.
I speak like the Cardinals hit.
Interesting. Interesting analogy.
Yeah.
I agree with Derek. The Packers are good, but, like, nothing about this Packers team screams different good.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
Like, they've still got random guys at wide receiver making catches. It's still Aaron Rodgers' team and nobody else's. Like, nothing about this, not that I necessarily believe it anyways, but I don't think LaFleur came in and was, like, changing things. You know, it doesn't seem like this is a vastly improved Green Bay team from, say, the 2016 Packers or something like that.
That's fair.
So I think their ceiling is still, like Derek said, maybe like a division title and a wild card win or something.
It'll be interesting. Their last three games at home against the Bears, at Minnesota, at Detroit.
Ooh, all three division.
Hmm.
it's interesting that normally I, by this point, have watched every NFL team because I either they either played my Cardinals, I've had a fantasy guy going against them, or I have a fantasy guy on there. I have not seen one Packers game to this point, so my apologies.
They
I mean, I've
look
seen
like the,
highlights.
I mean, they look like the Packers. For some reason, when the Lions went up, I think it was 22-13 last night, I said, well, they're going to win this game thanks to that because Aaron Rodgers has 9 minutes and two possessions.
He's crazy. He's crazy. Somebody said, Tay, you're only carded for AARP.
Wow. Zing.
John?
Oh, sorry.
Next question.
There you go.
The Lions would have been in first place in the NFC North if they had won last
night.
Now they're in last. Do you think we're still underrating Detroit? Do you think they have a chance at finishing higher than fourth in that division?
I always underrate Detroit. And it's probably not fair to Detroit.
I think it's fair.
I mean, by all means.
What have they ever done to...
Right. And that was even... I mean, even when Barry Sanders was there, I was underrating him. And he came out heavy against the officials last night.
If Barry Sanders says the NFL is ruined and blah, 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 you know that the NFL's got a problem.
Big time. You know what? I'm underrating Detroit still. It just seems, look, I bought into the, look, after six or seven or eight games, they're in playoff contention. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, they kind of end up right where they're at. And they tied my Arizona Cardinals, who have a chance to go to 3-3-1 this weekend against the Giants. I'm underrating Detroit, but I'm going to tell you this. I didn't see it, so I can't really comment on it, but I trust the people that I see complaining about it, including you two. And that is unfair if Detroit really did get jobbed last night with a chance to be in first place right now and a chance for a huge division win over Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unfair to where you took a team, instead of being in first in a division, now they're in last. And if you're a Detroit fan, you're sitting there going, well, of course that would happen to us. I guarantee you they are because I'm a Cardinals fan and that stuff happens to us. So I could totally see how frustrated they are. I still say, I want to see Matthew Stafford. I want to see him win. Has he won a playoff game?
No, because they finally made it to the playoffs and lost to the Saints, too, right? Or did they beat the Saints?
Maybe they beat the Saints.
They lost to the Saints 1 year, and then they lost to the Cowboys 1 year.
I like Matthew Stafford. I think he's a hell of a quarterback, and I would love to see him. I'd love to see him do it at Detroit, but I'd love to see him on a contender. Like, let's say a Steelers team without, you know, now that Roethlisberger's gone, whatever. And see what he could actually do and if he could win. I like that. I like that guy. I like him.
Yeah, he still doesn't have much of a run game. Kerryon Johnson is a good running back, but they just haven't been able to figure that thing out. It's a team that's in every game. They're close with everybody. They tie with the Cardinals. They beat the Chargers by 3. I don't know how good the Chargers are.
Right.
They beat the Eagles by 3, lost to the Chiefs by 4.
But that's a hell of a schedule.
And lost to the Packers by 1, which they should have won. They got there was a pass interference call that wasn't called when Detroit was driving to essentially ice the game. And then two hands in the face calls, and neither one were to the face.
And in the second hands to the face call, there was a Green Bay offensive lineman literally putting his hand in the Detroit defender's face on the other side of the line.
Yes!
So Detroit is...
How do you not sometimes wonder if it's rigged?
Oh, you have to, especially if you're one of the bottom feeders in the NFL, playing at a team like Green Bay.
That's so frustrating.
What I said to Isaac was, I think more so than it's rigged that the officials are just incompetent at their jobs.
Well, right.
They are. Like, if I were to lay out two scenarios for you, one, the officials are so good at purposely being bad at their job that it's rigged in Green Bay's favor, or the officials are just bad at their jobs.
And I've been around sports long enough to know that it's not rigged.
I know.
Right? But you do, you sit there and you're like, that's too bad.
And that wasn't one of those things where, like, hypothetically, if they didn't call the penalty, this would have happened and this would have happened.
Right.
If they didn't call the penalty, Detroit wins.
Yeah, because I saw so many people. I love these people that say, well, instead of kicking 5 field goals, score a touchdown, then you win the game. Well, look, it's the NFL. I mean, it's not like Green Bay's just sitting there going, hey, go ahead and run right here and we're going to let you score this touchdown. I mean, come on. I get it. I get what they're saying. But, you know, hey, Green Bay, score another 3 touchdowns, not even a game.
Right.
So you could come back on your own team for saying that.
Right.
I mean...
I just mean it wasn't a chain reaction.
Right.
That penalty literally flipped who would have won the game.
I mean, if nothing happens with the officials and Detroit loses the game, then you use the mantra, or is it mantra?
Mantra.
Of, well, score a touchdown. And I guarantee you Lions fans are saying that right now. I'm going along. But the fact that you did get screwed, then... You give me the right to use that. Because it sounds like they did, what, two or three? I'm mad I didn't even see the game.
Lon just had a five-minute answer on the Detroit Lions.
Goodness sakes. And I just feel bad for the teams that never win. Because I've been a fan of a team that never wins, and it is frustrating. Sorry, John.
Next question.
And finally.
There's eight more questions.
Well, I mean, it's 5:50. We got commercials, you know. The Bears placed Kyle Long on the injured reserve. He's out for the year.
Surprise. Wow,
and Akeem Hicks on the injured reserve. He's not out for the year, but he's out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky is still hurt with an upcoming schedule of Saints, Chargers, Eagles, Lions, Rams. How confident are you that the Bears make the playoffs?
Wow. Is everybody going to be right? Is Sports Illustrated going to be right?
You know, that's the point. I was going to say Detroit. I'm not buying them to win the division, but they could be the team that makes sure that the Bears are fourth.
Yeah.
Ugh.
SI had the Packers, Vikings, Detroit, Bears.
I just don't know what to make of this division, honestly, because the Vikings come out and blow out the Eagles,
right,
which is random. You know, the Lions are still good, but they're losing close games, so if they keep losing close games, they're not going to be good.
And their coach,
Patricia?
Patricia, that came from New England, he cost them a win at Arizona. He cost him a win, and I don't remember exactly what happened. It was late in the game. He did something wrong. And it gave the Cardinals time to go down and tie it or whatever, and that's why it ended in a tie. So, and he was on crutches then. I think it was the fact that he couldn't get a timeout called or something.
And he was on crutches?
He was on a crutch. Yeah, he had something, I don't know, some.
He's got to have a designated runner for that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get on one of those little scooter things or a Segway.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I don't know, though. I mean,
I'll shut up.
With this division, it's tough. The best team, quote-unquote, in this division changes by the week. So to write off the Bears early is dangerous. At the same time, you just mentioned the schedule. Yeah, the Saints don't have Drew Brees, but that's still a really good defense. Then again, the Bears' defense against Bridgewater, I would still give the Bears that edge.
No doubt.
You can flip this either way.
The Chargers do not look good at all.
Nope.
The Eagles just
got hammered.
Yep. And you're going to Philly, I know that's tough. Detroit, beatable, going to be in the game. You know, it's toss up. The Rams,
yeah,
all of a sudden.
I don't trust them.
It's so weird because, like, on paper, you could either say this looks like 1-4 or 4-1.
Yeah.
In the next
I agree.
Line.
The point is we know nothing about the NFL at this point in time.
Right. The Bears except that New England's really good.
Yeah. The Bears scream 9-7 to me, though, and I don't think that gets them anywhere near where they need to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if it finishes them fourth in division, but I think you got to be better than 9-7 to
probably
get into the playoffs.
I just know that outside of the AFC East, the Bears have the fewest points in football.
Wow.
And that includes Buffalo, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, you're playing with Chase Daniels, or Daniel.
Yeah.
Is it Daniel?
Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel. I still don't think he's been horrible.
Just
I mean, he threw
Raiders.
That pick in the Raiders, and that wasn't good.
No, that's true. That's true.
There were three of them, right?
But I mean, I meant the pick that kind of sealed the end of the game.
Here's, here's our closing song. 3 a.m., baby. I just randomly picked this, by the way. We got to get out of here. It's my fault. I talked way too much on that segment.
You went 6 minutes on the Lions. You gave us a dissertation on the Detroit Lions.
Well, Derek had his own segment today, so I felt threatened since he had Derek's Dimes. I'm kidding. That was Derek's Dimes was
Lons,
awesome.
Lions. A new weekly
Lions.
Segment.
Derek's Dimes, you got to podcast that at 4:30. Great stuff on Illinois basketball. Mikey Dudek, he had a hole-in-one when he was 10. Of course he did.
Sure.
All right. Do we get at least one, Derek? Let's get one.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, man. I say they get one. Yeah, okay. We'll see everybody tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.